From WOUB News, you're listening to The Outlet, where campus meets community. I'm Caleb McCleskey. Each week on The Outlet, we bring you stories from Southeast Ohio. This week on The Outlet, the governor visits Athens to see policy at work in the classroom.
To see how these kids were, what they knew, and how they were able to sound words out already, and then put those words together. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
And Ainesville debates the future of local trash and recycling services.
When I found out that the Athens City had switched to Rumkey, I was really shocked because AHRC is such a local, owned, operated, employs local people, is doing an excellent job.
These stories and more right here on The Outlet. K through 12 students are learning in a different way after policy from the governor's office took effect. Outlet reporter Jack Green reports Governor Mike DeWine spent some time in Athens to see firsthand the impact of that policy.
I mean, I was just frankly blown away.
Governor DeWine sharing his thoughts on the work done by teachers at East Elementary School.
To see how these kids were, what they knew, and how they were able to sound words out already, and then put those words together. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
Summer McCorkle, the district's director of curriculum, says in 2021, when the Science of Reading program began, about 40% of kindergarten students met mid-year reading benchmarks. Now the number is expected to grow to 94%.
Our teaching is making huge gains for students, and we need to continue from the district perspective to support our teachers in their professional development, ensuring that they have high-quality instructional materials to meet the needs of their students, and also providing those systems of supports and interventions for our students who need that extra dose of teaching.
The district is using a more comprehensive approach, commonly known as the Science of Reading, to better teach students, made possible through support from the governor. Superintendent Tom Gibbs says all the credit goes to teachers.
Our teachers knocked it out of the ballpark. Right?
Gibbs says the keys to success, providing teachers time to work together.
For a lot of years, we expected teachers to do, to have professional learning on their own time over the summer and the weekends, that kind of thing, which is also important. But I think it's equally important to provide paid time for professional educators to have, you know, professional learning on the job and embedded in the job.
And although the day was about reading, students got a special lesson on civics.
And we did talk about the president of the United States and who he is, and that every state also has an elected leader. And for our state of Ohio, it's Governor DeWine.
Reporting for The Outlet.
Blend it together.
I'm Jack Green in Athens.
Ainesville residents are weighing in on the future of who picks up their trash and recycling. The Outlet's Jack Green reports the village is considering joining a council of governments focus on those services.
To say we want
Ainesville residents at last night's community forum are expressing their support to keep trash and recycling services close to home.
What's very important to us is community. We are very much rooted in Appalachian culture and in promoting our local people and our local businesses.
The issue at hand, whether to join a council of governments with Athens, Logan, and Nelsonville to provide service. The move to create a COG comes on the heels of Athens' decision to switch trash and recycling service providers from Athens Hocking Recycling Centers to Rumkey Waste and Recycling. The decision left many in the community concerned.
When I found out that the Athens City had switched to Rumkey, I was really shocked because AHRC is such a local, owned, operated, employs local people, is doing an excellent job.
Shelley Stark believes Rumkey is trying to drive out local competition.
If it is only based on profit, you will be driving the value out. Let's have a little foresight and let's look beyond the numbers, you know, and look at local services.
If it decides to move forward, the village would be the first to join the COG. And Mayor Gary Gooseman says the city has a history of being a leader in the region.
In a progressive community, and often, even though we're very small, I think we've often been the first to do a lot of things. If it folds and it doesn't work, so be it. But I think the majority of people felt like, well, let's give it a go. Let's give it a shot.
Reporting for The Outlet, I'm Jack Green in Amesville.
Emily Stokes, a reporter for The Post, Ohio University's independent student-run newspaper, recently reported on the city of Athens receiving a gold recognition level award from SoulSmart. Emily, how did Athens receive this award?
Yeah, so Athens was previously awarded the Bronze Award back in 2017. So they're already on SoulSmart's list of designated cities, which is for accessible, clean, green energy. The process of getting these awards is an application, and it depends on the requirements for which level of designation they get. I spoke with Sam Crowell, Athens City Council president, for this story, and he said that Athens Mayor Steve Patterson has had a large role in pushing for these designations and making sure that the city is recognized for the strength of its clean energy practices.
And then what policies or changes did the city implement to receive this award?
Athens has been known to value clean energy in the past through the form of solar power, and it has done a lot in the past to offset electricity costs for large users of energy, specifically city buildings that the city of Athens has. So some of the largest solar installations that were offsetting a lot of this power was Athens Community Center, the city pool around the dog park, and in the future, Sam Crowell said they're hoping to add solar panels to the updated Armory and hopefully maybe the Arts West building on West State Street. And then another really neat change that the city has implemented is committing to a 3 business day turnaround on permitting. And this is to make solar power more accessible for citizens in Athens and remove some of the roadblocks around getting these installed.
And then did the city have to work with any other companies or businesses to obtain this award?
So the application process is something that the city completed with help from SoulSmart's team. And I'm told by Sam Crowell that a lot of that was pushed by Mayor Steve Patterson. And I also spoke to Kokosing Solar, which is a major respected leader and company in solar power in Athens. And although they said they were not directly involved in the SoulSmart process, they are the company that the city has used in the past for major solar installations, specifically like the community center and the pool and those sorts of areas. So I certainly think that they have been a step towards Athens receiving the award.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there was a bronze award from SoulSmart that Athens had earlier in 2017. Are there higher awards than gold recognition for any city to receive?
Yes. So previously there were not, but recently they have added a platinum designation as the list of awards that SoulSmart designates cities with. And Sam Crowell said that Mayor Patterson told him that the city of Athens is actually not far off from that platinum designation in the future. So hopefully Athens can continue to be recognized for this really good clean energy with that designation.
That was Post reporter Emily Stokes. This segment is a part of a collaboration between Ohio University's longest-running independent student-run newspaper and WOUB Public Media. The reporting was done by The Post, and the audio is brought to you by the production team at WOUB. To read Emily's full story, visit thepostathens.com. An upcoming warm front is about to hit southeast Ohio. WOUB forecaster Isabel Isco says this weather could impact the rest of the winter. So, Isabel, good to have you on the show. What can you tell us about the weather for this Thursday and Friday?
You've been seeing throughout the week that it's been a little bit of a chilly one these last few days. It's been needing to have those jackets on. It's going to ease up a little bit. It's going to get a little bit warmer as these few days go on. And it's also going to get a little bit more sunny. It's been gloomy out there these last few days. So looking at Thursday, mostly sunny skies. And we're going to have highs at those low 50s. So definitely not super warm, but more warm than we're expecting here in January in Athens. And then looking at Friday, it's going to start cooling down just a little bit. High of 48. And then looking at night plans, I know this weekend, Sibs weekend. So if you have any plans Friday during the day, at about 5 o'clock, that's whenever it's going to start chilling down pretty quickly and get to a low around like those mid-20s. So you're going to need to layer up later on in the night if you have any of those plans. It's going to look about the same for Saturday. Still those mostly sunny skies. Going to show your siblings around campus. But once we get into those nighttime hours, we're going to look a little bit more chilly here.
Yeah, and then I think at least with January, at least the end of January now, we're starting to get that normal winter weather, if that makes sense, because obviously last week we had that huge, huge warm front. So do you think now that going into February, since February 1st is this Thursday, Do you think that we're actually going to start getting that normal winter weather again?
I think it's going to be a little bit of a warmer winter than we've been usually having. Just seeing how these last few weeks have been playing out and looking into that future forecast, I think it's going to be a little bit warmer than expecting, but not super out of the ordinary for being an El Nino year and just having those warm fronts that we've been having from the Gulf. It's just going to be a little bit warmer, but not super out of the ordinary for an El Nino year.
Ohio University Winter Sports is at the halfway point of Mid-American Conference play. Sports Director Aiden Crowley breaks down how men's and women's basketball need to approach the second half. So Aiden, glad to have you back. And as we were talking about on last week's episode, our men's team finally got that win on the road. So what can you tell us about that game?
Absolutely, Caleb. Like you mentioned, we were hyping up this Kent State game, a place that Ohio has not been victorious in since 2014, and they finally got the job done. 71-64 was the final score of that one. And when speaking with AJ Clayton and Coach Bowles, a lot of the conversation has been centered around the defensive performance lately for these Bobcats. They've won four out of their last five, and a lot of them have been hanging their hat on their defensive effort. If you look at their last couple games, the most points that they have given up in this five-game stretch is 70. So they have been turning other teams over, and that has led to points on the other end. As AJ Clayton, the junior forward for this team, kind of a de facto leader with such a young squad, he said that the offense just kind of seemed to follow in the steps of the defense. And we've seen it, and we saw it on full display against Buffalo Tuesday night at the Convocation Center. They went running with the Bulls and then some, 91-70 in that one. And the aforementioned Clayton, he had the game high, or the team high, excuse me, for the Bobcats, 16 points. And it was an AJ duo that night. They combined for 31 in the win, 15 for Sheldon. And a lot of it was in transition. AJ Clayton himself totaled four alley-oops on the contest, and they forced Buffalo to turn the ball over 12 times. And again, it's just a lot of things are starting to click, I think, for this team. They're finally starting to hit their stride, like we mentioned, and it's a perfect time to do so because you got Miami rolling into town Saturday. So you better be playing your best basketball when your rival shows up to your home court.
Right, and then to kind of move away from the men's team and head over to our women's team, maybe necessarily wasn't the outcome that we were expecting against Buffalo on Wednesday, but they did get the job done Saturday at Miami. So what can you tell us about those two games for our women's team?
Yeah, like you mentioned, the women did host Miami already. That was Saturday, January 27th. They got the victory 71-55 to make it, at that point, three games in a row for the women, and a lot of it has been the production of this freshman trio that's starting to form for them. Bailey Tabling, Monica Williams, and Lele Fantroy. The three of them combined for 40 points in their win against Miami. Tabling, in Bob Bolden's assessment, had her most complete game of the season. 18 points, 4-for-5 from three. When she gets hot from behind the arc, watch out because she lets it fly. But the thing that stood out for Coach Bolden was 7 rebounds. Tabling is not the most physically dominant guard that you'll see on the court, but her ability to rack up 7 rebounds was really impressive for Bolden and something that she needs to continue to do going forward as the season progresses. That really was the difference in this game, was just the production that they got from their freshmen, coupled along with the defensive effort in defending the three-point line for Miami. 5-for-25 from behind the arc. Are a couple of those just pure misses? Sure. But they didn't make things easy for the Redhawks. Good job closing out, causing discomfort, and 20% from behind the arc is just not going to get it done for any team. But like you mentioned, they went on. They were looking to make it 4 straight, but unfortunately dropped their latest game, another home game. They had a 2-game home stretch against Buffalo. That was Wednesday, January 31st. They lost that one 81-63, so a little bit of a different story. And when you look at it, you see a big blowout. It really wasn't. The biggest discrepancy in this game was the third quarter. That's really where the game was lost. They got outscored 32-11 in that quarter. Besides that, it's a pretty competitive ball game. They outscored Buffalo 21-14 in the fourth quarter, and for the most part, they held it pretty in check. And they just kind of ran into the buzzsaw that is Chella Watson. She's the nation's third leading scorer behind a couple key figures that I think a lot of people might know. Caitlin Clark, obviously leading the nation in scoring, and then a freshman at USC, Juju Watkins, who's been tearing it up. And there's Buffalo's own Chella Watson, just one spot behind. She had 27 points and only 1 for 7 from three. So she struggled from behind the arc and still put up 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. So not a bad day in the office for Chella Watson. And that was the main difference, the third quarter and Watson's ability to change ball games for this Buffalo team. And we were talking about this before we hit record, but it doesn't get much easier for this women's team, who now have to go play Ball State, who is number one in the conference right now and has not lost a conference game, only 2 losses overall in the season, 19-2. So uphill fight for Bob Bolden and his team. But he mentioned Miami after the win. This is the most complete he's seen his team play, and he hopes that maybe they can learn from their mistakes in that third quarter and they can put together a good fight up there in Muncie, Indiana. But it will be an uphill fight February 3rd. That's a Saturday.
That's all we have for you this week. Thanks for joining us. The Outlet is produced each week by me, Caleb McCleskey. We're edited by Atish Baidia, Aaron Payne, and David Forster. Adam Richards, our technical assistant, and our theme music is performed by Ryan Gabos. Enjoy our show? Tell a friend to give us a listen. They can subscribe to The Outlet on SoundCloud or Spotify, as well as Apple Podcast, or find us online at woub.org. They can also follow us on Twitter at @outlet_woub and Instagram at @newswatch_woub. We'll be back next week with more stories from Southeast Ohio.